April Vokey, and you are listening to Anchored, my chance to speak with some of the most influential people involved in the outdoors today. Join me as I sit down with my guests to learn more about their careers, opinions, history, relationships, and life both indoors and out. Nancy Morris Lyon and Nellie Williams have been working for over a decade to safeguard Bristol Bay from the Pebble Mine. Nancy owns Bear Trail Lodge on the famed Neknek River and was one of the first female fishing guides in Alaska. Nellie is the Alaska Director for Trout Unlimited in Anchorage. Both Nancy and Nellie are mothers, avid anglers, and spokespeople for a cause that needs us more than ever. In this episode of Anchored, I sit down with both of them to hear why the general public's help is needed now more than ever before. As many of you probably already know, the mine is an issue that has long been discussed by anglers and hunters. But what you might not know is that it's on the brink of obtaining a major permit that could push the project forward. Last month, the final environmental impact assessment was released, outlining massive impacts to Bristol Bay fish, wildlife, and water. A decision determining if the permit will be issued will be made by the Trump administration sometime between now and this fall. Right now is the time to speak up. Learn more at savebristolbay.org. I'll include all of the links in the write-up of this podcast. Also, I'd like to personally invite you to join myself and the Luminary panel to watch a live national screening of the film The Wild, which is certain to give you a firsthand look at what's at risk here. The show is tomorrow, August 6th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. I'll be watching alongside you with a live panel, and we'll be hanging out after the film to discuss it. Time after time, we've watched places disappear. Not Bristol Bay, not this time. Get your tickets at evaswild.com/screenings. And again, I'll post the link to make it easy. See you there. Thank you very much, ladies, for taking the time to be on the show during this COVID-19 insanity, I guess. What's it like in Alaska?
A challenge. Well, and probably not as much for us as it is for a lot of people. You know, by nature, we're pretty much socially distanced. I live in a place that you can only access by plane anyway. So I've got the river pretty much to myself with a few other locals that occasionally wander out right now. And I guess there's some positives to being quarantined in Alaska right now.
No kidding. What about for you, Nellie?
Similar. I mean, I'm in Anchorage, so it's a bigger city, but you know, we have some lovely trails right out the side door and have been able to get out and be outside quite a bit. But it, you know, the travel stuff is tough. You know, my family lives in the Midwest, so it's a long way away for having visits from family, and the whole working from home with kid thing is a challenge, as you probably can imagine.
I think I'm averaging 4 hours of sleep a night. And I talked to my mom the other day and she was like, you need to sleep. You look like you're going to just pass out. It's hard, isn't it?
So hard.
And they've done that for both of you gals. You will see it through and you will be well rewarded for your effort. So, I mean, my daughter's a fantastic guide for me already now. And I'm looking forward to her taking over the business someday. So hang in there. It'll pay off.
Thank you. Well, let's talk about that. So now, Nancy, I know that you have been a longtime lodge owner there in Alaska. I've heard about you for years because of my friend Kate Taylor, who speaks so highly of you. And can you tell us all what you do?
Well, I just fish. That's pretty much what I've done out here for 36 years somewhere. I mean, you know, at some point they kind of get blurred together, but I've been out here for quite a while. And I've been a guide out here in the area and have kind of become well known for my big rainbow trout fishing. And, you know, the thing that I grew to know Nellie on so much is we started the Bristol Bay Guide Academy together. And I've had the honor of being the head instructor for that for ever since its inception here. What, this would be year 12, Nellie, I think? Or is it longer than that? Anyway, it has been a real honor and a very, very rewarding thing that we've undertaken. And I'm sorry to say we have to cancel it this year, but it's still, we'll move forward with it in the future.
Yeah. What about Alaska bookings for the lodge? And where is your lodge located?
So we are out in the heart of Bristol Bay in King Salmon, Alaska. And that's right on the bay, right on Bristol Bay. And it's the challenge for us right now. I just got off a call with a statewide group I've been on since this thing started. And I was hopeful that they were going to lift the 14-day mandated quarantine for anybody arriving from out of state. And they are looking at lifting it for people on the road system, but that isn't us. And I was hopeful I was going to hear that it might be in a couple of weeks, but they've basically said they're not even going to start looking at it for a couple of weeks and maybe not even then. So we still don't have a reprieve. I actually have one group that is booked for 14 days in case they have to quarantine here. But, you know, one group doesn't make my season. So we're still very tenuous as to what kind of a season we will have and what it'll look like. Very grateful for the Alaskans that I have that have been longtime guests of mine that are coming out and have rebooked. And that definitely will help pull something out of the season for me and is making me looking forward to opening day, which is June 8th. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, I think about you all the time, you know, lodge owners in general, especially in remote places. What about you, Nellie? Did you ever guide?
I have never guided. I'm a third generation bluegill fisher woman by family background. And I came up to Alaska. So I grew up, you know, fishing and hunting in the Midwest and then came up to Alaska in college and fell in love with it and learned primarily how to fish up here. But my skills were never honed until I met Nancy and got some good lessons.
Got it.
Thank you, Nellie.
So you guys are longtime friends.
We are.
We've worked together for a long time and become really good friends. Yeah. Nancy's legendary.
She is legendary. Nancy, on that note, I'd love to have you on the show one day in person, especially to be able to pick your brain about your life, you know, 37 years ago and how it all started. So I just, for people who see your name on the title of this podcast, just know that Nancy is not getting off easy. And I will circle back to talk about your story because we are going to be speaking mostly about conservation and what's happening in Alaska today.
A good topic, and I would be honored. So by all means.
Now, this is a huge topic, and I know because I've been tired even thinking about this podcast. And I'm just going to be totally honest. If I get tired thinking about it, people who are listening are undoubtedly either going, oh, I don't know if I have the energy to think about this today. Can we break it down into the most simple explanation possible? Because it's very intimidating, and it feels like it's been going on forever.
Absolutely.
How do you keep the energy to keep waking up every day and continuing the fight?
Well, I'll answer that part. And then Nellie can answer the technical part probably better than I can. But, you know, this is where I live. This is my life. This is my family's future. So how can you give up the fight? You know, that's kind of what it becomes. But it's been one of the things, the key things that I've been, you know, telling my legislators in general, both in state and in Washington, D.C. It's like my daughter has never known a time when Pebble Mine hasn't been part of her life. Is that okay? Is that, you know, is that something that should really be okay one way or the other? I think it's appalling, and I think it is a disaster. The majority of Alaskans have already come forward and said this is not a good idea in this location, and yet we still can't get people to listen the way they should be listening, and it's very frustrating.
It is frustrating, and we have covered this topic a couple times on the show, and you know, I just feel like every year when we get back to it, it hasn't changed. So maybe, Nellie, can you give us a little bit of the history on where it was and where it is now? And then eventually we'll all go into where it's going.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the heart of this whole issue is that there is a foreign-owned mining company that wants to build North America's largest open-pit gold and copper mine in the heart of wild salmon country, you know, with kind of the best left for wild salmon in North America. And Alaskans don't want it. You know, a majority of hunters and anglers have spoken up time and time again, millions of people at this point. And everything points, the science says that, you know, this mine would be incredibly detrimental to the fisheries. You know, we're talking about 100 miles of streams gone, like never coming back. And that's at the very low end. And all those pieces add up, you know, the location of where it is, upstream of most of the major river systems in Bristol Bay, which produce half the world's sockeye salmon, the size of the mine, which is 11 billion tons. And it's just really hard to quantify in your brain 11 billion tons, but it's more than all the other hard rock mines in Alaska put together. You know, it would be by far the largest mine in North America. And the type of mine it is has a huge waste rock ratio of waste rock to valuable minerals. So almost 11 billion tons of waste rock would have to be stored on site in perpetuity forever at the headwaters of amazing salmon fishing, not to mention rainbow trout and all the other amazing creatures that are part of life out there. So Nancy summed it up nicely on that, you know, this is just a really horrible idea that Alaskans have sent time and again that they don't want. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, the reason a lot of elected officials haven't been listening to people on this is because, you know, the Pebble Limited Partnership spends more than $2 million a year on lobbying in Washington, D.C., and that doesn't count Juneau. So, yeah, it's been going on a long time. But, I mean, this is, in my mind, this is one of the most important fisheries conservation issues of our generation. And if we can't draw the line on this, then I feel like there's no place off limit. And, you know, that's certainly why I invest a lot of time and energy. And that's why Trout Unlimited has made this such a big issue for them is, you know, this place is incredibly special and far too important to put at risk for short-term jobs and an unsustainable project.
The thing for those out there that don't know yet or are trying to understand further about it is it could not be located in a worse location. It's not only just the heart of Bristol Bay, but it literally is sitting on top of the two major watersheds, the Mulchatna/Nooshiegak drainage and the Kwejak drainage, which are the very head of Bristol Bay, which feeds all the rest of the rivers, the Naknek, the Igigik, on and on and on. So we're talking there is no worse place for it to be. And those waters we have discovered in all of this are actually connected together underground. So if the crap drains to the Kwejak side, the Nooshiegak's still going to get it anyway. Or if it goes to the Nooshiegak, the Kwejak side's still going to end up with pollution from it.
So this is bigger than fishing, obviously. I mean, this goes into entire ecosystems. It goes into economy. It goes into livelihood. It goes into history. I mean, this filters all the way down into so much more than just being a lodge owner or a fishing guide. And I think that's important for people to understand.
Oh, very much so. And my neighbors out here, they have such a rich culture out here that it's unbelievable. And all of that's being threatened. We have three, maybe I guess you could say four indigenous tribes out here that find their roots in the bay. And all of that is being threatened with this mine coming in.
Do they have any pull over there? I know that we faced a similar situation with Shell. I mean, I think it was probably not quite to the extreme, but we ended up winning that battle. The indigenous tribes did come through and they really helped us to get Shell out of there. What about in Alaska? Is there a lot of support from the indigenous people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a group, a very active group, United Tribes of Bristol Bay, that has been fighting it at an indigenous person level. And Nellie, I mean, I think you're probably more of an expert at this than I am, but primarily I think our biggest problem, they have been effective, but only to a certain point, because the ground that they are looking at using, they're able to circumvent all federal ground, and BLM ground is the state ground they're looking at using. And our biggest problem has been that our government administration has been pro-Pebble for most of the way. So it doesn't matter so much because there's not enough tribal land involved. And Nellie, again, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the technical expert on this.
I think there's a couple things at play. When it comes to the proposed Pebble mine, I have never seen before like such a sense of unity across all the different groups who use and depend on salmon. So from a majority of the tribes in Bristol Bay to the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, which is the regional native corporation, to many of the local village corporations, to commercial fishermen, to lodge owners, to sportsmen and women around the country. You know, this has been a uniting issue for groups of people that don't typically see eye to eye on fisheries issues and fisheries management in particular. So that has been really powerful, I think, at getting people's attention, both at the state level and at the federal level. But Nancy's right on the it's the pebble deposit is on state land, and unfortunately, at least our current state administration doesn't doesn't put a whole lot of weight in into the concerns of tribes right now, which is incredibly frustrating for them and wrong. And, you know, I certainly think that they should be, their voice should carry a huge amount of weight in this issue. And it isn't at the state level or much at the federal level, unfortunately.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about who the quote-unquote bad guy is. Do I recall hearing that it is a Canadian company?
They're your neighbors.
Wow.
Yeah.
We know better. Can you tell me a little bit about who these people are?
Yeah. So Northern Dynasty Minerals is the parent company of the Pebble Limited Partnership, the promoters of the mine. Northern Dynasty has never developed a mine before. And, you know, it's really consists of a handful of major shareholders that are pushing really hard to advance this project. The company used to have several financial partners, you know, Anglo-American, it was a big one that walked away from the project at a significant financial loss. And Northern Dynasty is the only quote unquote partner that remains of the Pebble partnership. And they've been financially struggling for years. You asked earlier about what gives us hope. And one of the things I fairly regularly do is look at the Northern Dynasty Minerals stock chart. And, you know, at one time they were trading at over $20 a share, and now it's well under a dollar. And, you know, I think, you know, looking back on all of that, it's like, you know, we are holding the line. Collectively, we are all holding a line against this mining company, and they're financially struggling. And if we can hold them off a little bit longer, they run out of money, and we can get on with more inspiring and proactive conversations about making sure this fishery's around for a long time.
If Trump is out, does that change anything?
It could. So 2020 is a really important year because Pebble has applied for a major permit to build their mine that they need from the federal government called the Clean Water Act permit. The Clean Water Act permit, if the timeline is followed, is set to be potentially issued. A decision on whether or not it should be issued will be made this summer. So for the past 2 years, we've all been wrestling and wrangling the review of this permit application Pebble defiled basically on Christmas in 2017. And ultimately, the decision on whether or not they get a permit will be made by the Army Corps of Engineers and the Environmental Protection Agency, very likely with some influence and conversation higher up in the White House and in the administration. So as things stand right now, that decision will be in the hands of the current president and close advisors. And of course, like, the process itself has been incredibly lacking, and there's inadequate science, and they don't have an economic feasibility plan. I mean, we could go on and on with the list of things that are flawed about the current process. And our view, and the view of many, many people who have taken a close look at this, is that this permit shouldn't be issued. And right now, we are pushing through multiple fronts, like 250 businesses and organizations from around the country are pushing to call on the administration to deny the permit. If that permit is not issued and the process is delayed, then the next administration would be able to make that decision on the permit.
What do Americans have to gain by having this go through? What's the counter to this?
Well, that, to me, that's the most frustrating part, because quite frankly, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you ask who it was. There are no Americans involved in this whatsoever, other than the people that Pebble has hired to this point and are on their payroll. And that's it. There's nothing for Alaska, much less Americans, to truly gain from this, other than some temporary jobs. There's nothing there. And it's quite frankly, what really irks me about it, you know, after the fact that nobody's listening to the fact that most Alaskans don't want this to happen.
So if it's a Canadian company, I feel like they're kind of sliding by, because I feel like if Canadians really knew what was going on, that we could get on their heels and make a difference. Is that just me being naive?
Has anybody attacked that front, Nelly?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. We have gone to, and this is the bigger we, you know, someone from Alaska who's opposed to the the project has gone to Northern Dynasty Minerals shareholder meetings. I think to some extent there's a bit of a disconnect, and that some of the people in the mining company don't understand the depth and breadth of the opposition to their project. But yeah, maybe we should be doing some more organizing in Canada.
Yeah, I'd be going in for my ally, you know, the allies. Because if you think about it, I feel like if you got the Canadians on board and realized that one of our own was going in and trying to do this to our neighbor, we might be able to help derail it. But again, I'm also naive, and I was a little girl who thought that if I started singing in a bus, that the whole bus would start erupting in music. So I might be naive, but that's just a thought.
I would have joined you.
I love it.
How many people make up that company?
Not many, a handful of staff and a handful of major investors. And then the Pebble Limited Partnership has a office in Anchorage with, you know, I think a dozen, and I don't know their inner workings all that well, but about a dozen people. That's really it. You know, they used to hire more, you know, local people near the mine site. But as far as I understand, most of those folks have gotten laid off over the past few years. So it's really a marketing company. I mean, that's what the Pebble Partnership is at heart. And, you know, they've never developed a mine. They're trying to sell a bad idea. And, you know, thus far, Alaskans haven't been buying it.
What would it cost just to buy them out and get them to piss off?
Still a lot of money. The thought has crossed our minds many times. But, you know, they're still worth quite a bit of money. I think if we can hold off their permit this year, that conversation gets a little closer to reality.
How do we hold off their permit?
Scream loudly that this permit shouldn't be issued, and that if we want American jobs and if we want to keep all these great businesses and an amazing American fishery intact, we should deny the permit. And really the next couple weeks and months are when we need to say that.
And if I may add too, I would say the thing about this permit too, is what they're applying for right now, it being a business person, and I'm certainly not an expert at it, it's not financially feasible. What they've submitted is something they're trying to get investors to buy, but it makes no monetary sense. And so we know that it has to lead to something much bigger than they're asking for. So they're trying to put a frickin' candy-coated shell on what they're offering right now to investors in order to get this permit. And they're selling a farce because there's no way it can stop there. It has to move forward in order for it to make anything.
Nancy's so right. And there was a particularly frustrating couple of weeks last year where we had the mining company telling Alaskans that it was this new mine that, you know, was more environmentally responsible. And in the same week, talking to their shareholders about 11 billion ton mine, and, you know, touting the benefits of developing the full 11 billion ton proposal. And this company has more than a decade of deceiving Alaskans, and they continue to do it till this day, and nobody should trust them.
Yeah, this is super interesting. All I'm thinking about right now is what they would say if they were sitting here. Is there somebody on their side who does speak about this publicly and tries to explain why they're doing what they're doing?
Yeah, he's about to be elected to our Board of Fish.
One of the guys from the mining company is about to be elected to the Board of Fish?
Yeah, he's been nominated by the governor to take a seat on our Board of Fish currently.
And he's worked for the Pebble Partnership.
But this is fantastic. That's actually a fantastic opportunity. Nancy's going, oh, I don't know. But don't you guys think that this is a great way to get in?
Well, our Board of Fish, the only thing that our Board of Fish really does for us is to mandate how our fisheries are allocated. So he won't have any say about mines or anything else, but he can certainly make a mine-friendly environment for them by being on the board.
Okay, the plot thickens. So talk to me about this Board of Fish. Which board is this? This isn't the TU board.
No.
This is the state of Alaska Board of Fish. We manage our fishing game up here a lot different than any place else I've ever been involved with. And I really like it. It's a great, it's seven or nine members, and they're from all across the state of Alaska, everything from subsistence fishing to sport fishing to commercial fishing, all kinds of different experiences. And they sit down and listen to certain areas each and every year, making decisions on changes that should be made to the laws in those areas for how fish and game is managed. So he is looking at becoming one of those people who make those decisions, at the same time pushing an agenda behind the scenes that isn't very favorable to fish or game.
And the governor's adding him. So how many people sit on that board?
Is it seven or nine, Nellie? Nine?
I think it's nine, but I'd have to confirm that.
What else can we do right now as the public listening to all of this who understand your point and want to help, and we just don't know how to?
Well, you know, in the next 2 months, you know, I think anything we can do to bring attention to this issue. And in April, I mean, you right out of the gate during this, our conversation, noted that this has been happening for a long time. But, you know, this year, I've never felt a greater sense of urgency around people weighing in and spreading the word and signing the letters, all of that stuff. I've seen the impact that they can have behind the scenes of every phone call, every email. And I think now's the time. Like, now's the time we have to double down. We have to hold the line against this mind. And if we can do it this year, in the most challenging of times, then we can move on and get toward these more exciting and long-term conversations about how we keep this wild salmon, you know, just incredible place around for many, many future generations. So Save Bristol Bay is a great resource just for both action and history. And we try to work with the best scientists on the issue to make sure that information is synthesized and available to anybody who's looking for it, as well as just a continuous social media stream for both inspiration and education. So I would point out both to you and the Save Bristol Bay social media channels for the latest.
Sounds good. What else is happening over there? I know that it's more than just, there's more than just Pebble Mine going on. Anything else you can mention that's not too overwhelming?
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to get into the details, but, you know, I think Alaska has the opportunity to learn from a lot of challenges that other places in the lower 48 have faced, right? Like, there's other states that spend a lot of money trying to bring their fish and salmon populations back. And in Alaska, we have the chance to get the wild salmon story right. And, you know, that's what we focus on. And we have the opportunity to work with some great lodge owners and guides and businesses that understand the importance of healthy habitat to their businesses and their bottom line. And I feel very honored to get to come to work every day and take care of the places that Alaskans love to fish. And a lot of people love to come visit and fish. So Trout Unlimited is about habitat and making sure that the fish have a home they can thrive in.
What percent of your campaigns or of your support are anglers and from a fishing stance? Have you guys tapped into any of the other recreations or any other groups?
Yeah, we have. You know, this issue has captured the imagination and hearts and minds of a lot of people, not just anglers. The hunting community has gotten more and more engaged on this because there's some great hunting in Bristol Bay. We hear a lot about the fish, but, you know, moose and bear and caribou hunting are pretty fantastic out there. You also have increasing number of people who just are seeking out that backcountry experience, you know, whether it's rafting or hiking or fat biking, even all of those things are becoming more and more special, especially in the time of COVID, right? Where so many of us are turning to outdoor adventures to stay sane and to recharge during really challenging times. So we've certainly tapped into folks that appreciate the outdoors on a broad level. And then also people who love to eat fish, like eat salmon. A huge part of fish you buy at a restaurant comes from Bristol Bay. So that's a huge part of the coalition of people working to stop Pebble. And that gets into commercial fishing and the thousands of businesses that rely on the healthy commercial fishery in Bristol Bay. So yeah, I've been really impressed over the years about how, you know, regardless of your political affiliation or your interest in Alaska and Bristol Bay specifically, people jump in and and are supportive of our efforts.
How does it work with politics there? Can you get rid of a governor? Can you guys do something to push him out?
Well, speaking of which, there's actually a unseat Dunleavy campaign right now. And when does that go to the polls? Is that September, Nelly, or November?
I think okay. It's this November. I need to check the dates. But yeah, our governor's actively under a recall and it's going to the polls. So we have our fingers crossed.
It sounds like we're back to politics, which is never surprising, but it's also a lot less intimidating than I thought, because I really thought that this was like some of the world's top leaders in on this. But to be able to really wrap my head around the fact that it's one company that, you know, that obviously has, you know, shareholders and has state, you know, skin in the game. It's knowing that their stocks are going down and that maybe they are struggling too, and maybe they are not this infinite life. It really does give me some hope that maybe we can nip at their heels until they actually just give in.
Well, we'd like to think so, but you know, this fight has been going on. I don't know if there's any official date, but it's been going on basically 20 years because it's been since Riley was born, and she's now recently engaged to another fishing guide out here and is graduating college and on. So that, I mean, to me, that speaks volumes when you've gone through a whole entire generation already and you're still fighting the same fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big year. Though, I mean, I think I said this before, but I honestly think that if we can hold the line against this mine and prevent them from getting this permit and protect, you know, thousands of American jobs and businesses that are existing off the fishery now, then we have a strong shot of making sure Bristol Bay stays the way it is for a long time to come. So this is a time to triple down, not just double down.
Okay. So what can people do right now?
Go to SaveBristolBay.org and take the latest action. They can share stories and video about Bristol Bay from Facebook and Instagram, and just, you know, spread the word how important this place is, how special it is to not just hunters and anglers, but people who love salmon and love the great outdoors. And I think those two things, you know, write to your Congress people, tell them about this and tell them it's important to people, not just in Alaska, but all over the country. And that is how we've gotten to where we are. And if we continue to vocally raise concerns, we'll keep Pebble out of Bristol Bay.
And that concludes this episode of Anchored. Thank you for listening.